Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
All right, guys, we're continuing with the series, The Test for His Best. How many of you realize we're all going to be tested? I mean, I don't need to go into through a long introduction of setting this up. We're going to immediately jump into the Word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And here's what it says. Verse 3 says, God tested us thoroughly to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with his message. Isn't that interesting? That God has to trust us with his message. And it says, be assured that when we speak to you, we were not after crowd approval, only God approval. Do you know that's how God wants us to live our lives? I know we do a lot of things because of influences and pressures and culture, and the list will go on. But man, I'm telling you, you will cross over into a degree of maturity when you begin to do things not because of any other external influence other than God approval, other than God influence on your life. And it says we only did it for God approval. Since we've been put through the battery of tests, you are guaranteed that both we and the message are free from error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. Today, I'm going to be talking about the credibility test. The credibility. What does that mean? Credibility test. Basically, it identifies integrity and character in the life of the believer. I keep a step, and I don't want to block the screen. I forgot I got to scoot it over here so I don't block the projector. Because I like to move. I don't know if I can help not moving. The credibility test identifies integrity and character. You know, how many realize we in elementary schools, and they even had advertisement on TV. And remember, it used to be character counts. Remember the slogan? Character counts. But can I share something? Character counts. And if there's been just a travesty in life and people have entered into crisis, it's because they hooked up with somebody that had no character, right? You think of some of the most difficult times in your life and heartbreaks and disappointment and betrayals in your life is because you could oftentimes narrow it down to certain individuals lack this quality, character. But you realize that character is important. Character is the very thing that keeps God, get this, constant. Aren't you glad he's not holy one day and just angry on another day and his word is shifting and unpredictable? But he has laid out a standard for our lives. And that's why it says, he says, I am the Lord and I change not. In Malachi, I believe it's 3 verse 6. He says, I'm the Lord and I change not. And that's one of the things that defines constants in our life when it comes to morality. That's one thing that's shifting in our nation right now, is all the boundaries are being blurred. And it's creating such instability. But in the middle of all this chaos and instability, I'm telling you, if we hold to the Lord and his word, that will be our stabilizer. Anyways, the credibility test. This, and let me tell you what the test is. This test, if we will compromise our principles, convictions, beliefs, and our values when under pressure. Will we compromise our principles, our convictions? What are we without convictions, guys? Our beliefs. We say we believe in God. We say we believe in love. We say we believe in the truth of the Word of God. Well, how many realize you will be tested on these? It says the credibility test will test to see if we will compromise principles, convictions, beliefs, and our values. You know what? Over the years, Dion and I have experienced musicians and people in the church that actually had positions at church that they were actually knocked out of positions because of this, the lack of integrity. I remember one time there was a talented musician, and we loved him. He was brought up in church. He was brought up leading praise and worship, and I spent time discipling. It's amazing how much people can sway. They can get in a habitual and just this normalcy of Christianity without, Pastor Steve kind of touched on it, where there's not passion and there's not a desire for more of God. It's just, you just kind of cruise control in your walk. You're not going higher in your walk and pursuing God. And that's what this individual had done through years and years of patterns in his Christian walk. And I pled with him to come up higher, and we prayed, and he said he wanted to, but then he'd make wrong choices. The next thing you know it, I warned him about getting involved with he's married. I warned him, don't get involved with this other girl. You need to stay away from the girls. He said he would. So at least he stayed away from the girls at church. But then they left the grounds, and he would hook up with other girls, and everything was a big mess. He had kids. He had a wife. Broke their heart. And you know what? What it came down to is the character, the credibility test. And God, now that's an extreme case, but how many of you know God is looking for character even in the little things? And you know, it's so funny. Dion and I, and Pastor Stephen Veronica were with us, and we got caught in a little bit of a lie. We laughed about it afterwards. But man, we were all in the right intent about, we were supposed to go to L.A. and Aubrey had an audition, but Aubrey did not want to go to this audition. Dion's foot was hurting, so she called the manager and said, you know what, my foot is hurting. We're not going to go to the audition. So that's the truth. But really, the biggest motivating factor is Aubrey's like, I don't want to go to an audition. But that was convenient that her foot. But her foot wasn't hurting bad enough, because it was Brendan's birthday, and he'd been planning for months and months to go to Disneyland, right? And so now we're like, okay, we can't go to the audition, but we're gonna go to Disneyland. And so I'm looking at Dion, and I'm joking around with her. I'm going liar. It's not for loser, it's for liar. And so we started joking, but it was truth. But as it kept going on, it's like, well, then we had, the partial of the truth. It was true, but there wasn't a lie. It just, we didn't tell our manager that we were going to Disneyland. So you could see how the pattern, and afterwards, like, you know what, we talked about it, and it's like, you know what, even those things, they're kind of amusing, but you know what, it would have been just as easy as to just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. But we were trying to pad the manager from getting mad that Aubrey wasn't going to be at the audition, and my message is going to convict me as we keep going. So let's just end it right now. Just bow our heads right now. But we all get caught in it. But all of us will be tested on the credibility, because I want to be counted worthy and with this gospel that we're entrusted. I want my witness, I want my life to shine, right? To reflect God's character. Amen. In fact, the scripture says this, and I don't know if I gave this to you, Dion, but Kathy, if you have Proverbs 20, verse 6, Proverbs 20, verse 6, listen to this. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. I'm not that bad. You know, a lot of people, I'm a pretty good person. You can ask them, what kind of person are you? I'm a pretty good person, right? Everybody's going to say, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I love and I forgive most of the time, and right? And I pay my bills on time, and I've never murdered anybody. And they I'm pretty good. And it says, each man will proclaim his goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Interesting, right? And Lord is looking for faithfulness. When we say, I'm going to give you a couple statements about our credibility. When we say someone has credibility, we are saying that we can trust them because of their track record. Credibility is developed. We love people to be credible people, right? You go into business, you want to make sure that person is a credible person. You get into any kind of relationship, you want that person to be credible. You're thinking about marrying somebody. I hope that you're not just looking for a nice body and a pretty face. Because that doesn't guarantee credibility. You know how many people I have counseled over the years? You know, over the years, it's funny. Pastor Sam, you've probably counseled the same kind. They can't keep their hands off each other because they're so in love. And they can't keep their lips off each other and because they're so in love. We just want to get married. And it's like, okay, why do you guys want to get married? Because we love each other, okay? So that's good. It's like, okay, how long you been together? Oh, just a couple of weeks, but we love each other. And, well, what were you doing before 2 weeks? Well, I was dating somebody else, and I just went through a divorce. 2 weeks later, but we love each other, and they want to spend, okay, I'll give you, and I know God forgives the past, but, okay, But where are you working now? Well, I don't have a job. Your husband, the one you want to be your husband, doesn't have a job? Yeah, he hasn't had a job in about a year and a half. And he lives with his grandma. But we love each other. And we want to marry. We want to spend our lives with each other, right, Pastor Sam? And then you go through with counseling. They get married. And then 9 months later, you see them. And they're not on talking terms. They drive in separate cars. And you think there's a there's actually been couples that have come into my office that I thought I was going to have to call the police when I counseled them. It was so, they were so bitter, so angry. There was betrayal. There was lies. But we love each other. It's like, no, I don't know if love is the right term for how you were feeling about each other. I know some of you looking down because you were in a relationship like that at one time. And I think because what happens is we need credibility. And you know how credibility and integrity and all that's developed? Over time. Love at first is a bunch of bull. And anybody who says that love is developed and trust is developed over time. Through relationship, you build, and then you make a wise decision. Amen? Come on, let me hear you say amen out there. And it could be, woo, that's right. If some of you young people, I hope you want him to be credible and not be intoxicated with looks and even a form of spirituality. But you see a track record, and he loves you. And get this, he loves your parents, and he honors and respects your parents. Well, I know he doesn't really want to talk to my dad, but it's okay because I love it. No. You find out later on the way they treat their parents, give it some time. They'll be treating you that way too. Amen? And there needs to be honor established from the very get-go. Finding a credible person is just doing life with them, getting to know them, right? Now, being credible. What would you call yourself? Would you call yourself a pretty credible person? A pretty incredible person. Listen, we all fall short. We all fall short. You might have the best intent. But here's something, the credibility test, you'll see how credible you are. You'll see what your character and your integrity is when you're not just tested, but get this, tested under pressure. Tested under pressure. And we look throughout the Word of God, and we'll see people who have fallen time and time again. You know, I love the Bible because it does not hide and conceal the shortcomings of the men of God. Because it will expose them and show you where they fell short. I know we like to keep it a secret, but you know what? The Bible gets it out there about the shortcomings. You know, it's just like our lives. We do good, but then we're vulnerable and we can be blindsided in life and we make wrong choices. We say wrong things. And it's what's really sad, depending on the degree of the issue at hand, it could destroy your credibility for a long time. Amen? But listen, it's not about being perfect, but it's about being perfected. Who is the one we look? The author and the finisher of our faith is God. Jesus was perfect integrity. He was perfect character. And who are we supposed to pattern our life after? Him. Not even good Christians. Pattern your life after him, because you know what? Even the most meaningful, the most amazing ministers and pastors I've seen fall. And you get, you know what? I get a magazine and it seems like it's a Christian magazine, and it always highlights the biggest mega pastors who believed their own thunder and eventually fell, and their church has gone into a spiral, downward spiral. Who do we pattern ourselves after? Jesus. Look unto Jesus. But thank God he's patient with us. Come on, how many have ever failed a credibility test? You lied, you hurt somebody, you cheated, you may have taken money, you may have betrayed, you may have fizzled out on a commitment. We all have been there. But thank God, there's, as we sang the first song, I am forgiven, right? You know what, and just, we know this, but there's certain safety bureaus, and they're established because they set safety standards. And that's why we have to go through these testings. Because, you know, in your car, these bureaus will tell you how long your car will last, or how long your tires. They've been through extreme testing. You know how they say it's a 65, you know, I've never had a tire really go the how far they said the tire should go. But they'll say, it's a 75,000 mile tire. And its reason being, they can set those standards, is because it's been tested. And they're tested under extreme conditions. They're tested, and that's why they can place a warranty on products, because they've been tested extensively. And what it is they test the, get this, the integrity of the product. And that's why we have to go through this credibility test. I'm going to just, because I'm not going to expound on the negative, but I'm going to give you a few examples of people who failed the credibility test. There's two men, actually they were sons of Eli in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. And one of the sons of Eli was Hophni, and the other was Phinehas. And you know what? They stole money. They stole money from the temple, from the church, from the tithes and offerings. They stole, but then not only they didn't stop there, they seduced women. They seduced women. You be more holy, you sleep with me. And then have somebody the next day and the next day. And they lived this. But actually, then God held Eli accountable because he didn't reprimand and correct his sons. And actually, the Lord rebuked Eli, says, because you didn't take care of this. You will not have a son that stays in the priesthood from your household. There's judgment being passed because, get this, the credibility test. And they are actually all, the sons were killed in war, and Eli died during the same war. Then the next one, Samson. Come on, Samson, gifted, powerful man of God. He was one of the judges and deliverers of Israel. But the guy loved the women too much. And he just flexed his pecs and get the girls. And he lost vision. He lost his credibility. And lost his relationship with God. And praise God, God ultimately used him to deliver Israel. But in the end, he lost his life. Credibility, it's important. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah. Elijah told Nahum, he was actually a general in the army of Syria. He was covered with leprosy. And the Lord says, dip 7 times in the Jordan, the Lord will heal you. And Nahum tried to offer Elijah money. He says, here, I'm going to pay you. And Elijah says, you keep your money. You can't buy the gift of God. God has done this. Keep your money. And Gehazi's like, oh, wow, if you're not going to keep the money, I sure could use to pay off my mortgage. And Gehazi deceived Nahum down the road and took money. And Gehazi, the leprosy that was on Nahum was passed to Gehazi, and he died with leprosy. It's sad. King Saul, He passed the handsome test. He passed the stud test. But he failed miserably with his character. He failed miserably because he entered into such rage of jealousy. And he had his own personal insecurity. And it was the very thing that led to his downfall as a king. God had great plans for King Saul. But Saul was jealous of David. He tried to murder King David, who was a servant, loyal servant to King Saul. So we can see the Bible's not quiet. There, I can go, you know, I could spend the next 3 hours talking about men in the Bible that lost their credibility. But listen, you lose your credibility, got to get it back to you. And I'm going to get to that. Amen. So I'm going to talk right now. Credibility is established and displayed by, and I'm going to give you 5 things today, how your credibility is displayed and established. But you got to remember when we started off that I had mentioned that the test of credibility is a test to see if we will compromise our principles, will we compromise our convictions, compromise our values, and compromise our beliefs. So, in other words, you have to have beliefs and values in life to have these things established in your life. I like what Psalm 119, verse 11 says this. Before we go into these 5 points, Psalm 119, verse 11, I hope I gave you this verse. I don't know if I did. Did I? Okay. It says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Hiding the word of God in your heart, but it's what it is establishing principles and what defines you as an individual. You know, these things have, before you go in to fighting the battles and temptations that face in our world right now, in your world, man, we have to have settled the word of God. Hiding the word in your heart. You have to know what the word says to have it hidden in your heart. So number one, credibility is established and displayed by, number one, resisting temptation. We see this in Genesis chapter 39. Resisting temptation. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 8, this is talking about Joseph. You know, Joseph had a hard life. But God ultimately raised him to a leader over a nation. But man, he had to go through a series of pressures and tests. But you know what? I'm picking up before we read this, but, you know, Potiphar, he was set over the house of Potiphar to keep his house. Potiphar was a governor of the land. He was high up, and he loved Joseph, and he set him over everything, and Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph. She made it known to Joseph, says, "Sleep with me." And it says she actually began to beg Joseph to sleep with her. He says, "I can't do that." And let's listen to what he said. Joseph, verse 8, he says, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then," now listen to what his words right here, "how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And here's the thing, he held fast to his principles. He was pressured. You might think, well, Potiphar's wife was ugly. I doubt it. But listen, he did the right thing. He kept his integrity and character intact. But can I share something? He suffered for it. He suffered for making the right decision. Did you know you're not going to always be honored and blessed on the moment at that time, but your reward will be down the road? And actually, Joseph was thrown in prison, but he was elevated by God. It says, but the Lord was with him in prison. And he was elevated in prison. And actually, it was strategic to get Joseph in the right place at the right time to ultimately where he can get before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. It was the plan of God. Joseph was probably, I did the right thing. I'm locked up for doing the wrong, for doing the right thing. Lord, I'm suffering. How many times have we been in that place? Have you ever suffered for doing the right thing? Been persecuted, ostracized on the job. You've been, you know, labeled by the ungodly, and they start calling you critical, and they don't ask you to their parties, and they think you think you're better than everybody else because you're Christian. No, I just have values, I have standards, and I have priorities in my life, and I have a calling to fulfill in my life. So Joseph, number one, to establish credibility, you have to resist temptation. We're all going to face it. And you know what? Listen to me. You will fail. But don't stay there. Don't live there. It's not that you fail, but it's how we get up. Amen. As one preacher says, he says, if you fall, fall forward. Just don't stay down. Repent and get back up. Amen. Number two, establishing and displaying our credibility is established by our endurance in suffering. Endurance in suffering. You know what? Again, I've talked, the one who's was tried, that the Bible talks about, that was just tested to all degrees. And the ways of the Lord in this situation was past my finding out. But in the end, God elevated the man Job. Job was a righteous man, you know. The Bible says there was none like him in all the land. Nobody had integrity. God even said, when God says you have integrity, guess what? You have integrity. To have the Lord brag on your life. And Job, the underlying, you can see the discourse of the Satan came and says, well, the Lord says, have you considered Job? And the devil says, you know what? Job is blessed because you've blessed him. You've sheltered him. You've covered him. And you know what? He only does it because you're good to him. But it's like if things turn sour and bad in his life, get this. Listen to the motivation of Satan. It says he will curse you to your face. The ultimate underlying purpose of Satan is he wants you and I to curse God and turn our backs on God. But listen. Job had a revelation of the reality of God. He said, I will not curse him. In fact, he says this in the scripture right here. Listen to what the scripture says right here. Job chapter 13. Job, ultimately, he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, I will trust him. Though he slay me, he what? I will trust. Though you can't figure things out in your life and you're faced with some very difficult times, though things are harsh, I will trust him. Amen? I will trust. You know, Charles is an amazing worker. I always use Charles, but he was out of work for a total of 3 years? 4 years. Worked hard. Engineer. Successful engineer. Got laid off and could not find a job for 4 years. But you know what? He and his wife, Connie, drawing near to God, drawing near to God, drawing near to God. I know they were downcast. There was time we felt downcast. But it's like, no, God is faithful, and we kept standing. Though he slay me, I will trust. And you know what? Charles got a job, got a good job, and he's working again. God is faithful. And staying in that place of trust. So credibility is established and displayed by our endurance in our suffering. Amen. Number three. Credibility is established and displayed when we're immovable with God's calling. We're immovable with God's calling. There's a lot of times you're going to be tested. A lot of times you'll be tempted to quit. I want to look at Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. You know, almost 25 times, the first 15 chapters, get this. When Paul's mentioned, know who's always mentioned with him? Barnabas. Barnabas means the son of encouragement. He was an encourager. When nobody believed in Saul, and they thought Saul was going to kill people, Barnabas steps in and says, he's a man of God. He preaches the truth. He has been assigned by God, and you need to listen to him. I mean, Barnabas was used to get people to see that Paul was called. Barnabas was the man. And so every time they preached, it was Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. They were preaching buddies, man. And they would go back and disciple. They would battle it out with Pharisees and all the religious priests. And they were stoned together. Not stoned, that stone, but they were stoned. I caught that one. They were beaten together. How about that? They were imprisoned together. They were stoned together. That's funny. We'll have to edit that one off. But you know what? There came a time that they actually departed companies. But I want to read this, and I'm going to explain some things here. Verse 36, it says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark," the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Verse 38, "But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." Verse 39, "Then the contention became," get this, "contention became so sharp that they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus." They were immovable with God's call. Let me explain. Paul was on go. He knew he was called to an apostle to the Gentiles to raise up churches and plant churches and disciple. He knew he was on the go and he could not be stopped. But you look at Barnabas. You look at his calling. His name is son of what? Encouragement. He was a disciple. He was a mentor. He was a raiser up. He saw Paul kind of, "I don't have time for Mark." He kind of wimped out and he forsook us. He left camp. He went AWOL. I don't have time to babysit, basically what Paul's saying. And he says, "I have to go do the work of the Lord." So Paul would not deviate from his calling. He knew his calling. Now some will get mad and say, "Paul is just hard. He's a difficult person, and he needs to be merciful." No, he had to plant church. He knew his calling. He held true to his call. But Barnabas, what was his calling? Encourager, mentor. Did he hold true to his? In fact, he stayed with Mark. You know what? They could have given in, had a worse blowout. "Paul, I'm going my way. You're going your way. Heck with the churches in Ephesus and Philippi. Let them just make it on their own. They have deacons there. They'll make it." And just give in. But you know what? They were immovable because they knew what they were called. A lot of us, guys, there'll be a lot of distractions in your calling. There'll be hurts that try to get you to waver from what you've been called to do. But the very thing that's going to fulfill your life is when you're walking in the call of God. But can I share something? When you're walking in the call of God and full effectiveness for the kingdom of God, don't think you're not going to meet resistance. And it might even come from the brethren, like in this case. And it says the division, it was sharp. In other words, they had great contention and they probably exchanged some words. The Bible talks about two men of God getting into it. But you know what holds true? You know how many people get offended in church and leave the church? They get offended and leave the church. Not these two. Paul, he did his thing. He did his calling, but Barnabas restored. In fact, he restored Mark, mentored Mark. And in fact, years later, Paul, after this contention, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for this ministry." In fact, Barnabas, he fulfilled his calling. He raised Mark up, and then years later, Paul says, "Bring Mark." First he says, "I don't have any use for Mark." Now he's saying, "Bring Mark," because Barnabas discipled him and raised him up. Amen. Hold true and be immovable in God's call. Number four. How credibility is established and displayed. Number four, by keeping our word. Keeping our word. What does your word carry credibility? Does your word mean something? Have you ever had somebody, and once you've said your word, has someone ever said, "Yeah, right, whatever"? Do they question your word, or do you have the credibility? Have you established a place where your word means something? Amen. How about this with those closest to you? You know, what would those closest to you say about your word? I know we're always on our best behavior around people around church, but really those closest to you can really see beneath the facades that we can put on, right? So here's something that's really important. You know you're a credible person when those closest to you can actually say it. They the real deal. That's a compliment. And if you're not at that place, it's not about being perfect, but being able to be perfected. And God, thank God, what he begins in us, he'll complete. Amen? Listen to this. Listen to this. Keeping our word, Psalm 15, verse 1 and verse 4. But I'm going to give you context, but here's what it starts off, Psalm 15, verse 1. It says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? He's asking a question here, and he gives a bunch of criteria of what God is looking for. But I'm going to jump to verse 4. It says, he who honors the faithful followers of the Lord, get this, and keep their promises even when it hurts. Keeping promises when it hurts. Sometimes we promise to give a good impression. But make sure you're giving your word to keep you. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. If you're going to do something, do it. I know it always comes. I mean, our kids are wonderful at holding us accountable. Dad, you said. Right? And lastly, I got to hurry. Lastly, I could go further on that, but I got to keep my word. That's right. I gave my word. Credibility is established and displayed by, last, by endless love. We see this in Christ. Sometimes, again, guys, we've heard a lot of messages on love. I'm just going to touch on this one. But how deep does your love go for people? Are we touchy with our love? If somebody offends us or speaks something a little bit that could hurt our feelings, do we just fall apart and give up hope? I can't trust anybody. Are we so touchy? Are we at a place where, man, they didn't mean that? A place where you hope the best, believe the best. How strong, you know, love is tenacious. I'm telling you something right now. Love has teeth. Love has teeth. And sometimes people can get mad at us and we just let them go. No. Love goes after them. Love will win them. And I just want to share this. John chapter 13, verse 1. Listen to what Jesus, the ultimate example of love, but listen to the words. We can teach a series on the love of God. I'm just touching on it. But listen to what this says in John 13, verse 1. It says, having loved his own, referring to Jesus, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end. In fact, so much that Jesus, as you know, Jesus was brutally beaten. And he, you know what? He agonized. He sweat great drops of tears, blood and tears. And guys, he was in agony, wept all night. But he did it for you and I. But you know, it was love. It was love. And you know what? His love got hurt. His love was doubted. His love was trampled. But listen to what he can say on the cross. Here's what love looks at. Verse 34, and we've heard it familiar. Then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Love. Father, for what? Father, what? Father, what? Because they don't know what they're doing. I'm just closing it out here. Where are we at? I don't have my watch on me. I can't see. Okay, we need to finish right now. But I'm closing this out. I want you to listen to King David. The Bible says King David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. But he failed miserably in his credibility. But he was a man after God's own heart. Because after he would fail incredibly, he'd get right back to the face place, the heart place of following God. But I just want to close out with this psalm. Listen to this. Psalm 26, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Look at verse 2. "Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart." Verse 3, "For I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth." You know what he's saying? In verse 1, he says, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity." Did he always? And the answer is no. He had a man killed. He cheated on his wife. He forsook his kids. He was a deadbeat dad in many cases. He didn't follow through on fatherly responsibilities, but he was still labeled a man after God's own heart because I believe he was committed, get this, to credibility and character integrity. Doesn't mean we're going to fall, but you know, every time Jesus or David is mentioned, and even in the New Testament, he's called the Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. But David had a lot of shortcomings. But the one thing he had is he was a man after God's own heart. Live in credibility. You'll fail, but keep striving. Keep striving. And our pattern isn't other Christians. Our pattern is Jesus. Amen. Did you get something from the Lord on that?